Let me tell you, on this series of the gifts, this is part three, I wanted you to get out of this series. I know I spent a lot of time last week reviewing and coming back into this, but we covered the first three gifts, revelation gifts, and I really want you to get out of this the practical aspect of a spiritual phenomenon. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural, that unless the Holy Spirit come, they cannot be operating in our midst. They're not the natural gifts. They're not the things that you are born with naturally. If you can do it on your own and you can do it by yourself, it's not a gift of the Spirit. It has to be the Spirit who is helping us and dispersing and helping us, empowering us, and doing all the things to function in the body as they should. And so I hope that you're picking that up in this series. And I know we don't have a chance to do question and answers. Be a great small group study later on as you go. We could take one gift per week. That's how much information is here. But you know, we want to do as much as we can in this series to give you the information we need. So 1 Corinthians verse 7 through 9 of chapter 12, 7 through 9. And if you're there, shout aloud, amen. All right. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. That's what the verse 7 says. For to one is given the wisdom, the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by that same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles. Those are the verses we're going to cover today. I'll try to expedite this and get as much as I can in. I've got 45 minutes to preach. Somebody shout amen. I hope I can do it in that short span of time. But here's the deal. Every one of us have been given gifts. Okay? The Holy Spirit, you are a candidate. If you're born again, the Spirit of God resides in you. You are able to be used of God in the gifts. Now, we're going to talk today about faith, workings of healings and working of miracles. So gifts of healings and working of miracles. So these are the power gifts. I just want you to know that there are three different categories of the gifts. Last week we talked about the revelation gifts, word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discernment. Didn't have a whole lot of time on the discernment, but there is also in that category distinguishing of spirits. So you can see in the ministry of Jesus, they had places where demons would be possessing people, and he could distinguish from that. The Apostle Paul also used in that gift we said last week. But it is not a gift where we can go back and we have the privilege to determine a devil under every pew. How many know that some people get overzealous and then they go out looking for devils under every pew? There are some people that are possessed with demons. I've seen it many times. That gift is used overseas in missions, in places where demonic and the occult and the voodoo and witchcraft is taking place. A lot more manifestations in that kind of arena. In America, we don't see that as much, but there are places. Listen to this. God will use the church to help determine what's good, what's not good, what's of the Lord, what's not of the Lord. And it's a very important gift, distinguishing the spirits. John said, try the spirits, see if they be of God or not. And so don't forget, some people are not possessed with demons. Some people are oppressed. That means they have a lot of things going on. They are oppressed, especially if they're born again. What we believe is that demons cannot possess a born-again believer. Come on now. There's not a devil big enough to cross the bloodline of Jesus Christ. If you're in the Lord and you're born again, then you're not going to be demon-possessed. But you can be oppressed. You can have some things come over you mentally, emotionally, and all kinds of other ways. And so this will help us. These gifts will help us. And I hope that you get that. To another, the gift of faith by the same Spirit to profit everyone, right? And then healing by that one same Spirit and miracles. So today, I want us to see some some things together and look at some questions and try to answer some things. First of all, how did the power gifts relate to Jesus in his ministry? You know what? The Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, operated in the gifts. You know, you may not read the Gospels and understand that or put it in that kind of context. And you say, well, Pastor, he was the Son of the living God. He was God in the flesh. That's absolutely correct. But Philippians says he voluntarily gave up being, you know, his deity, his powers like that as he was on the earth so that he can be 100% human and not void himself of being 100% God. But he was using the gifts of the Spirit, being empowered by the Holy Spirit while he did his earthly ministry. And therefore, when he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. He begins his ministry. And there you'll see him doing all kinds of things, giving words of knowledge to Nathanael, saying of him there is no guile. You know, he's speaking things. He is saying things. He's also doing things. How many know Jesus came to teach and to do? So he's revealing things and he's also doing things. So he had words of wisdom. He had words of knowledge. When the religious leaders tried to trap him, he was used in the word of wisdom to blow their minds. They thought they had him trapped several times, but they can't trap Jesus. And I want you to know, Satan and the flesh and the world will try to manipulate you and trap you and in your thinking try to hinder you or slow you down. But is there anybody here glad for the fruit of the Spirit and the spiritual gifts that God gives us? They're both valuable. They're vital to the kingdom. They're valuable to us to function in the church and in the kingdom. So this series is not just about somebody having a spiritual maturity and being used above anybody else. This is the tools that God gives the church to be effective, not only in the body itself, but also in this world, that people can come into the kingdom. So what is the relationship of these gifts to faith? Every believer is supposed to have faith, right? And you may have faith, what we call saving faith, and not necessarily have the gift of faith. So I want to try to explain that and help you to understand that even if a believer doesn't have the gift of faith, they still have a measure of faith. So like all the other gifts, they are simply the extension of ministries, Jesus' ministry on earth through the body. In other words, Jesus said, I've got to go, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and my work is not done. Salvation is done. How many know when he said it is finished, it was finished. There was nothing else to be done to save mankind. Jesus was the last and final sacrifice. He took care of salvation. But there's a lot of ministry that needed to take place, and Jesus did it while he was here, 3.5 years, and he also left the church here, filled with the Holy Spirit, to accomplish the purposes. So what are their purposes? How do we put these gifts into operation? I want you to see this because he had a twofold gift of speaking and doing, working and acting. And we looked at the revelation gifts. We saw him how he used there. But also he acted. In Capernaum, they said of Jesus, what is this? A new teaching? This man speaks with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey. So we saw powerful gifts coming from the Lord. And even in the storm, he spoke to the winds and the seas, and they obeyed. How many know that's authority and power that he demonstrated and manifested when he was on the earth? So he had wisdom, and he had works, and he also distributed that to us by the Holy Spirit. Peter, when described the Lord Jesus in Cornelius to Cornelius in Acts 10, he described Jesus as the one who came preaching and who went about doing good everywhere he went. So healing the sick, casting out the devils. In fact, Mark 16, when he commissioned the disciples, he said, go in my name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll speak in new tongues, right? All these manifestations, all these things will be done in the name of Jesus. Does anybody here believe that? So there's a lot of people that say that all of that is done and gone away with. After the apostles ceased, all of these miracles and power gifts cease as well. But I want you to know, if the disciples also went forth to preach after Jesus ascended into heaven, And they went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. How did they know that these were believers? How did they know that these were disciples of Jesus Christ? He confirmed that they were doing God's will by the signs and the power that followed. And so it was the Lord working through them. Understand me, it was not them having power. It was them being used of the Lord to do miraculous things and see miraculous things done. So the point is this, the ministry of Jesus kept on going after the ascension. Are you following me? So that's how it relates. Jesus went to heaven, but he gave us the Spirit, right, and empowered us to keep doing things for God on the earth. And so John 14:12 says, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do." And look at this. "Greater works than these shall you do." So he promised to us that he would see, that we would even see greater works. Now, when you look at that, and a lot of people look at that and think, wow, we're going to do greater things than Jesus did. I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Can I tell you? It is not qualitative. It is quantitative. Understand this. You're never going to be bigger than Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. You're never going to be able to do a miracle greater than raising the dead, right? So it wasn't the quality. Greater than doesn't mean the quality. It means the way that we're going to be able to do that is going to be in terms of quantity. In other words, it's going to be a way more extensive ministry. Jesus said, "I've got to go away, but the Holy Spirit's coming, and I'm limited in my earthly ministry here. I've done miracles in Judea. I've done miracles in Jerusalem, north and south. I've been around the Sea of Galilee, but I'm limited." When the Holy Spirit comes, is anybody getting this? When the Holy Spirit comes, the church is going to be unleashed. And I'm going to be able to do greater works around the world because I'm going to use the church. That's what I believe scholars are talking about when he talks about greater in terms of extending the kingdom, miracles everywhere, continuing the works of Jesus to the body, through the body, and through the gifts. So that's it. That's the introduction. Let me give you another question and go right into the gifts of faith. Now, I told you earlier, there are the saving faith, or what some people call foundational faith. When you come to Jesus, receive him. Ephesians say you receive him by grace through faith, right? That is salvation. That is the faith that all of us have through the grace of Christ. And it is also a gift. It is a gift from God. Is anybody thankful for the gift of salvation? It is a gift. But this is different. This gift of faith is different than saving faith. And I just want to make sure you understand, in terms of faith, we're all to have faith. It's not just those who have the gift of faith. And all believers have faith, and there's such a thing as saving faith. In fact, Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means we all must have faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. So that's that foundational faith, that saving faith that all of us have. It is a gift, but it is not the gift we're talking about today. God has given you faith to believe, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So when you hear the word, you believe. So there is such a thing as common faith, and it's a part of every Christian's life. Faith is also described in the New Testament as a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So if you look at that, then you see that love is described as a fruit, but not as a gift. But faith is a fruit and a gift. You might jot that down. Maybe that occurred to you. Maybe it didn't. But it belongs to both of these categories. And faith is described as a supernatural, unique ability given to some and not others. And we'll describe its function in a little bit. But as a fruit, it means that the fruit of the Spirit is for all. More like faithfulness, or the faith given to you to believe God in any circumstance. So we understand that this function is for the body, the church, but it also is for you personally. Each of these gifts of the Spirit can be used personally, right? Just like the tongues and the prophecy, God can use those personally for you, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and faith. But what separates faith as a special gift from the faith that all of us have? One translation puts it best. He calls it a special faith, a God-given supernatural faith. And I think that is helps us to see it's extraordinary faith. And Paul used in Romans 12:3, he said, a greater measure of faith, which God has assigned to you. So it's separated from common faith, saving faith, everyday faith that all of us have. And not as everyday faith, but for the moment. God can speak. You know, Melissa and I, when we got here, God spoke to us that he was going to send a revival to Springfield, Missouri. And he was going to use Oak Grove as a catalyst for that revival. That is a word that he spoke into our spirit. We've been holding on to that word for 14 years. In fact, it would be faith have in the congregation to all of you, not just to us. But he spoke that to all of you long before we got here. And we've been holding on to that. That is the gift of faith. Can you say amen to that? We are believing God for something that hasn't happened yet, but we know it will inevitably. If I die, you put me in the ground. How many know if God said it, it will happen by faith. By faith. So this is what we're talking about. And it's extraordinary, and we'll look at the function a little bit more. What about healing? When it comes to healing, we don't have to be under the ministry of someone who has the gift of healings in order to be healed. So in the same manner, it's just like the gift of faith, but it empowers a believer to believe in God and go beyond just natural faith. Because we all have the privilege of personal prayer, right? We can all have a privilege of going to the altar like we did earlier. Is anybody sick amongst you? I want you to know these elders, just because they were praying for you, don't mean they have the gift of faith. We all have faith and we all have the ability to pray. So healings can happen, but we're talking about, plural, the gifts of healing. So these power gifts are closely related and work together, but the faith is passive. Faith is what we receive, what we give in to the Lord in a passive way. The miracle is what we receive. So we believe God by faith in the impossible. We talk about mountain-moving faith. We talk about faith that's extraordinary. This is what we're talking about here. So we all have the privilege of prayer. We ask, we seek, we knock, we lay hands on the sick. But that's not the gift, the gifts, actually, plural, of healing. And so we're told in James 5 that we can go beyond and pray and believe God that for healing, but it may not be a special gift. So how does that one function? We'll talk about that as well. And then the third one is miraculous. Miracles are special providences of God. But I want you to get this. Faith is major. Okay, out of these three, faith is the one that connects all of it together. Without faith, it's going to be impossible to believe for the miraculous. Even though it's passive, active is the thing that's done through that. The faith is the inside believing what God's going to do on the outside. So there are supernatural providences that occur that may not necessarily be a manifestation of the gift of miracles. So I want you to catch this. This is a precursor to the functions. I'm going to give them to you in a minute. But healings can happen without somebody having the gifts of healing. Miracles can happen without having a gift of working of miracles. How many know God can do whatever God wants to do? So I'm just trying to help you to understand, not every healing is somebody operating in the gifts of healing. And that's why sometimes evangelists will get excited. They think God can't heal anymore unless they pray for somebody. How many know God can do whatever God wants to do? I just want to make that clear so we're not getting confused in this. Acts 12, Peter was supernaturally released from prison. How many remember that miracle? What was he doing when he received that? He was sleeping. Okay, he didn't have some awesome gift of working of miracles and the prison started to shake. He was sleeping. All Peter did was receive that miracle. It wasn't like the gift was operating. God just miraculously did a miracle. Now, in Acts 4, we know the church was praying. How many thank God for a praying church? I want you to know prayer is going to be a key in any of these gifts happening in your midst, right? So the miracle happened, but it didn't exercise the gift of faith because he was sound asleep. It's kind of like hard to exercise a gift when you're sleeping. Amen? So it's freely bestowed a gift from the Lord, sending an angel, waking him up, leading him out. I don't think Peter knew what was going on. He was like, what in the world? The gates just opened and he walked out. All right? So miracles happen. I mean, he's seeing movies made lately about the miracles, right? Little girl sitting in a tree, limb falls. She had a very illness that was going to kill her. She hits the ground. You saw this last movie. I forget the name of it, but it actually heals her. God does a miracle, right? Aren't you glad God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants? So all of these miracles and healings and faith is not conditioned upon you and me. We are not the primary person here. The Holy Spirit is, right? And so it's a miracle. It may not be the gift of miracles. So ordinary faith, common healings, special providences, how do they differ from these gifts? So let's talk about the function. Faith doesn't actively work the miracle. It passively receives it. And we function in these gifts. I want to show you how. There's three functions of faith. Number one, God can use the gift of faith. This is how you could say, Pastor, if God's using me, what can I do? How can I know practically that God is using me? Well, number one, he can use you to call out the potential in people. Jesus did it all the time. When he met Peter, he said, upon that confession of faith, I'm going to build my church. You are no longer Simon, right? You are Peter the Rock. Now, listen, nobody in their right mind would look at Simon and call that out of that, right? Fisherman from Galilee. But Jesus, operating in faith, spoke potential into Peter's life. He was one that always was looking. Now, when you look at the gift of faith, you have to put it in the perspective of relationship with people. Somebody needs to shout people. Come on, this whole thing is about people. People are the most important thing to God. It's not about you getting a big tent and putting a sign there. Come on to the tent. I'll sign the autograph. You can buy my Bible because I'm the faith healer and I'm doing miracles. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about God using you to touch people. And so this is a way that the gift of faith can be exercised because you begin to see the potential in other people. Is to recognize and call forth people individually and maybe even groups of people. You can think back, God called a whole group of people, the Israelites, right? He called them all out and used them for the glory of God. And so many times when we think of the gift of faith, we think in terms of physical objects only. But we have to think in terms of people. Extraordinary faith given to call people or groups into a relationship with Jesus. And it just means believing that there's greater something. It's like pulling something in. You could use discernment alongside with this because God the Holy Spirit will help you discern. On many occasions, the Lord has shown me something about somebody, that there's something particularly there that they have potential. And the Holy Spirit will say, speak to them, talk to them, and pull out that potential. There's a lot of people today sitting on the pew that have not, do not know the potential of what God can do in their life. So God can use the gift of faith in your life to speak life into people and pull the potential right out of it, calling it forth as though it is. It takes faith. Right? And Barnabas was also one exercised a gift of faith like that. He's described as a man being full of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you? To be used in any of these gifts, it might be a good idea for you to get full of the Holy Spirit. Hard to discern and to have word from God if you're not praying and full of the Spirit, if you're not reading the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So you, if you're not reading the Word, if you're not praying, if you're not looking to bless the kingdom and the church, you're probably not going to be a candidate for being used in the gifts. So in regard to the whole group, Jesus says to all of us, even today, but he said to them, you are the salt of the earth, right? to all those people in the beginning church, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the whole world. How many know that's big statements? Jesus looked at the whole church and said, all of you are going to be a city set on a hill. You have great potential to do great things for God. He even said in that statement I was telling you, greater works than I shall you do. Isn't that a faith builder? I mean, what a dream lifter. What a faith builder. This is a supernatural gift to pull the potential out of people's lives. And Barnabas had that whenever people were ready to run away from the Apostle Paul. You think nobody wanted to be a part of it, but he intervened on behalf of Saul and helped him to become a major player in the kingdom. And so out of Barnabas and his faith came the Apostle Paul. Hey, listen, if it had been left up to the group, he would never have had a chance. But the gift of faith came over Barnabas, and he said, I think we ought to give this guy a shot. How many know God can use you in this way if you're thinking about people? Paul, on the other hand, in respect to John Mark, didn't have the gift of faith. Excuse me. Paul said, this guy is bombed out on the last tour, and I'm not taking a quitter with me. I ain't got time for this guy. You know, he wasn't the encouraging kind, right? I'm going to leave this guy at home. He's no good for me. And Barnabas believed something about John Mark, and his faith called John Mark forth. And I believe we have the Gospel of Mark today because Barnabas said, hey, don't let that bother you. Have you ever been bothered by somebody else who took the potential right out of your life? I know a lot of ministers who get involved in ministry, and somebody speaks a death sentence on their life and on their ministry, and they quit, and they never become all that they ought to be. It happens every day. But I believe God's calling us as the church to begin to have faith again and raise up people and speak life into them. I think it's also another function of the gift of faith is to grasp a vision of what God wants to accomplish. Sometimes, listen, if you can do it on your own, it's probably not needing faith, right? It's going to take the gift of faith for this to come to pass. I gave you the illustration. You know, and I've prayed 1,000 prayers. I said, God, you're going to send revival where? I mean, of all the cities in the world, Springfield, really? And all of you are having Jericho March now. I can tell. You see what I'm saying? A non-expressive, expressive people group. And you're going to send revival through them. Really, really, God. Now, you know, I could get in a pulpit in Louisiana, in South Louisiana, and I'd say, good morning, and they'd have a Jericho march. I'd say, good morning, saints. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! So, I mean, if God's going to send revival, wouldn't he do it down there? But faith doesn't give up just because of the outward circumstances. How many believe God's going to send a revival to this city, whether he uses you or not? But the word of the Lord is, he's going to use you. And maybe it could be that pretty soon, no one's talking about the power gifts. Nobody's teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And very few that are left talking about it are those that are actually experiencing it. And revival could come. Because when people need healings, oh, I don't know about you, but when I need a healing, I don't go to the place where God's not even showing up. I want to go where they're praying and the power of God is moving. Same thing if I need a miracle. So I believe there's coming a day that God's going to take us out just like he took Abraham out to the mountain and said, hey, son, how far can you see? I'm asking you today that God can use you, the gift of faith. He may pull you out and put you on the side of the mountain and say, look up, look at this vision. As far as you can see and count the number of the stars, that's how many the seed's going to be in your life and your family and your tribe. And Abraham's thinking, are you kidding me? My wife can't even have a son. So that's why he's called the father of faith. He had the gift of faith. And 25 years later, before Isaac was even brought forth. So the gift of faith is always believing, no matter what the outward circumstance is. That's the function of the gift of faith, that God can accomplish mighty things through you. And there are moments in life when God just gives us special faith to see something brought into existence, and he may be talking to you today, but I tell you what, there have been great men and women of God in the past who believe God. I mean, there's some biographies of men and women, missionaries of the past that have done incredible things, that talk about stories of orphanages, and they had no food, and they prayed, and all of a sudden somebody knocked on the door and had enough food to feed the whole orphanage. How many believe that's the gift of faith? It wasn't possible. You couldn't have any more resources. You ran out of everything you could do, and you've got to believe God or else it's not going to happen. And so it takes a special gift of faith to stay in another culture, and as missionaries do, with you know, everyone else's support, and year after year after year, nobody comes to Jesus. And when everybody else is ready to give up on your support, how many believe God sent you, God's able to do a work there? Yes, and it was Adoniram Judson who went, and he spent 7 years in Burma before he saw his first convert. 7 years and no converts. And many, many, many supporters and donors would have taken their support and said, "You're not doing over there. What are you doing? Is it laying in a hammock?" Because in America, we're results-oriented, and we want to see results right now. But how many know in the kingdom, you've got to wait on God? And you might do a lot of plowing, seeding, and pulling weeds, and you may do a lot of things before the harvest comes, but the gift of faith hangs in there even when you don't see any results, any results. And so at the time of his death, Adoniram Judson, after that slow start, translated the whole Bible into the Burmese language. And he saw 7,000. The church grew to 7,000. And he established 63 other churches because he operated in a special gift of faith. He didn't give up. He kept believing against odds. And so I believe God can use you in that way. And there's a difference between faith and presumption. So I wouldn't hop on the next train to some foreign country and say, "I'm going to stay here until Jesus does something." Amen? I mean, you better have a call of God on your life. In other words, you don't play God. If God speaks to you, God will do what he said he would do. So you hold on by faith. Amen? And then the third function is the gift of faith is undergirded by you are able to undergird the body of Christ with that same perseverance. Hey, you know, America's not experiencing revival right now. There may be pockets of revival. You know, there's just like there might be pockets of churches teaching on the gifts, speaking in tongues, and still believing God for the miraculous. Pockets here and there. And that atmosphere, that climate, is where the gifts of the Spirit really manifest. You want to know where they really manifest, and it's mostly in places where they need to be. You want to know why overseas in missions they see miraculous things done all the time and healings and miracles? Because they have to have it. They're out of resources. They don't have the hospital and the doctor and all the medics. They have to have a miracle or else. And so in those kind of climates, people have faith and they continue to believe and wonderful things happen. So faith is different from healings or miracles because you see healings and miracles. They are concrete things that occur. But faith is within. It's interior. It's more subjective. It's more passive, like I said. And we must wait for something to happen. But it goes on having faith, even if nothing has happened. I love Elijah, you know. Elijah prayed for rain, right? He prayed the first time. He had faith. He prayed. Nothing happened. So he sent his servant to go and see if rain was coming, you know, check it out on the edge of the mountain there, the Mediterranean. Is there any rain? Is there any wind? You feel any drizzle, any drops? Nothing. Comes back, nothing. Elijah gets in the same prayer position again. Faith, prayer, sends him out again, nothing. That's a gift of faith that says, "I'm going to pray until something happens," never giving up. In America, we might pray for something. God doesn't answer in about 10 minutes, we're done. That's why our altars have been shortened. That's why we don't spend time tarrying. Because if God doesn't answer in a microwave way, we're out of here. We don't have time for that. I'll just go to the hospital. I'll go to the doctor. Now, there's all kinds of people who take that to the wrong level and don't believe in doctors or medicines or whatever. That is not godly wisdom at all. But I can tell you that we have to have unwavering faith that goes on believing, even if you don't see it, that will come to pass, right? And so the gift of faith gives us the power to endure. Several things else about faith, and we might not get to anything else today, but But obviously it supports the gifts of healings and miracles. It can't be done without faith as the base. That's why I'm spending a little bit more time on faith today, because without faith, you cannot hang in there until God brings it. See, timing is of the essence. Now, if I were God, I would have brought that miracle we've been asking for 14 years ago. Can anybody here attest to the fact that Springfield could use a revival 14 years ago? So I'm not understanding all the ways of God, because his ways are beyond my ways. But I am not going to give up faith. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So it's a gift that we as a whole body have, we've been waiting on, and we believe. How many still believe in God's going to do it? So Peter goes in, working of the gift of faith. It may have an immediate effect. Listen, sometimes it has an immediate effect, and sometimes it takes a process. But he goes into the little girl's room, and he sees her raised, you know, off the deathbed immediately. So that faith, he had faith, the gift of faith, and it happened. She was raised in a miracle. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way, right? And so it may have triumph on the immediate end, and it may take process so you can endure. I have faith that one of these boys are gonna run and get me some water real quick. Woo! The gift of faith in operation right there. It just happened. Miracle. So thank you guys. Also, the gift here is the gifts of healing. So we'll look at that real quick, because the gifts of healing is plural. I see that is the way it is in the original. So it's gifts of healings, and I believe it's that way for a reason. Because of the different diversity of sicknesses and illnesses. Man, there's all kinds of sicknesses. There's acute sicknesses that happen suddenly. There's chronic, long-term sicknesses that happen. There's emotional sickness. There's mental sickness. There's marital issues. There's financial. Thank you so much. I'm still preaching, and they're still listening. Are y'all still listening? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Okay. Somebody said, get that preacher some water. There's nothing worse than the dry preacher. All right. And so, because there's all kinds of sicknesses, the needs for physical healing as well as mental, like we said, and emotional, we believe that God wants us to operate in the apostolic. In other words, more sicknesses are overseas. By apostolic, I mean, in a place where the gospel hasn't been preached. Apostle means one who has been sent. Now you say, Pastor, are you saying that in America we're not going to be able to have apostolic faith and miracles and healing? No. There are pockets in America that really need it. How many know there are some places in rural America that could certainly use some miracles? And you can go to the urban cities of America and violence and crime. How many know we need some miracles here? What I'm saying is the climate for this to be used is in the place where it's needed the most. And so what is the function? It first of all, it helps to deliver the sick, the gifts of healing. It delivers the sick. Jesus went about healing all who were sick and possessed and had needs. I mean, Lazarus was dead 4 days. He had divine wisdom and knowledge. Okay, that it was going to happen. And he also showed up right on time because he was the one who had authority. Now, Jesus transferred that authority because he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth and under the earth. So go. And when he said go, he said, I won't send you without power. So I believe God's giving the church today these power gifts. I believe there's potential in here for some of you to be operating in the gift of faith, healings, and miracles. I believe that's possible. I know he does it on his own sometimes, but I also believe it can happen. I mean to say, ministries which are on the cutting edge of bringing the gospel into new territories, new places, to see gifts and healing in operation. So, it's first of all to deliver the sick. That's obvious. Jesus nor the disciples did miracles and healings to manipulate people into believing. All right, wasn't no tricksters. There wasn't nobody on TV with a earpiece, somebody in the foyer interviewing the client. Oh, y'all help me out here. and telling the preacher what's going on in their family, in their life, in their body, so that he goes into the body and starts exercising and speaking as manipulating and saying, somebody here has a headache. Can I tell you? Half the world has a headache right now. I got one. So that's not being used in the gift of a gift, you know. Somebody's right toe pinky is hurting. Well, yes, of course. Of course it is. Your head's going to be hurting when I get a hold of you. You know what I'm saying? And that is manipulation. Jesus never did that. He never had a banner over the tent saying signs and wonders here tonight. Come and find out how great I am. That is manipulation, and that's why it's not a PR thing. It's not a publicity thing. God is doing this, and he usually uses humble people to get it done. If arrogance is involved, it's a good chance it's not God at all. And it's not how big the offerings are. Jesus is interested in using us in this gift because he's burdened and he's compassionate and he cares about sick people. I tell evangelists who tell the whole world they have these gifts, and maybe they do, but if they really genuinely had it, I would send them over to Cox South and to St. John's Mercy Hospital. I had 5 in the hospitals yesterday. Come with me, Mr. Healing Evangelist. Go to the burn unit and speak a word. May they all get up. Go to the cancer ward and speak your healing word and see if they all get up. See? And so I don't think the Lord's pleased with that kind of manipulation, but it doesn't negate the fact that God still does miracles. He's still a healing God. He still touches people. He still uses the church in this operation of gift. But since it's been so abused, people have been discouraged. And I tell you, when healings take place, it brings praise to God, and it establishes the claims of Jesus. He confirms his word and blesses those who are helping the poor. And thirdly, the working of miracles, finally, it's also in plural words here. Healings can be included in miracles, but miracles have a wider sphere of operation than healings. Okay? Healings most of the time is sicknesses. Miracles, as a purpose, can come as a gift to vindicate the name of the Lord. Here, miracles can vindicate the name of the Lord. So it can help us. It can help us, like Elijah on the Mount Carmel. Remember, he said he called fire down. He who calls the fire down, that's the God that you should serve. See, so he put God on the spot there, and God came through in a miraculous way. And if he didn't work out, neither one of them would have been able to do anything, right? There would have been no God there, but God, the real God. How many would believe we serve the real one true God, who is spiritual and powerful enough to do anything you can imagine? And I think we have limited it. I think we've made God small. I think because we didn't see the results we wanted, because we may not be in the climate conducive for it, we've said God's done. And just because it doesn't reveal itself just yet doesn't mean it's not possible. How many believe God can do something today? He's the God who answers by fire. And he delivers people out of the hand of the enemy. On many occasions, God did miracles to deliver people from the hand of the enemy. And the children of Israel were delivered several times from Pharaoh, right? Aaron's hands prayed for them, Moses and the rod. And so he's bringing his people out of bondage. Daniel experienced this in the lion's den. And so, listen, it was just something that he just received providentially. Daniel, as well, like Peter, was asleep. But that's powerful faith, to sleep in the lion's den. How many of you sleep like a baby in the lion's den? Maybe you think it's one of these little pet lions in the zoo. Or maybe you thought it was a stuffed animal. How many know these were hungry lions? He lays down on the lion's belly and goes to sleep. Why? Because he chose to believe God by faith. And God did the miracle. Also, the Hebrew boys, you remember what they said. Hey, O King Nebuchadnezzar, God's going to deliver us. That's the miraculous. They had faith, right? They're all mentioned in Hebrews 11. In fact, many of those in Hebrews 11 didn't see the promise fulfilled, but they were still people of faith, right? The gift of faith. And so even if you don't deliver us from this fiery furnace, our God is still our God. That's the gift of faith and miracles. And unless you're in way over your head, you may be dealing with presumption and not faith. Because if you can do it, you can manipulate people and do it yourself and not really experience that. So I'm at the end here is the second thing that goes with these gifts. And I just want to give them to you practically because God wants to help us in a practical way. Chrissy, come back and I'll tell you this. Say, Pastor, I want to be used in the gifts, but I don't know how. Number one, you need to step out into a place where you need the power of God. If you don't need him, chances are you're not going to pray. How many know when people get in a bind, they pray their guts out? You really get in a place where you need him, you'll have God working with you, and you'll be working with God. It kind of goes both ways, right? So he distributes the gifts, but we receive what he distributes. Okay, we have to believe. And so, and the second thing is that they operate in persons who are profoundly moved by human need. They operate in people who are burdened for those in need. I think if you begin praying for God to use you in the miraculous, I think you might start to see, dare to believe God. If we dare to believe God, God could use us in any of these. There could be a miracle in the house. How many is willing to believe? Come on, stand with me tonight, today if you would. I want to encourage you, Oak Grove, to catch the Lord's vision for something bigger than yourself. Not be content with the status quo as it is. Some of you have been in a trial for a long time. And you're losing faith. You're losing. But God wants to help you. I think a spirit-filled church is one in which the gifts are in operation because people are moving out. They're moving out. You got to step out. Go a little further out than the shallow, mundane, repetition, religion thing. You got to step out. Where you have nothing left. Melissa preached it last Sunday night, I believe. When you got nothing left. That last level. Where you got nothing left but God. And you're operating in the gift of faith and miracles and supernatural. Can I just ask a question this morning? How many of you like to see the supernatural operating more in our churches? Come on, look. Now lift your other hand, just ask the Lord. Come on. Lift your other hand, just ask the Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we believe you're alive and you want your ministry to go on in the church. You've given us the power gifts because you want your power manifested. And Lord, I pray as a result of these series and we learning, our own hearts will be enlarged and awakened, thirsty to trust you for more. God, that our borders would be expanded. God, that you'd help us to live the kind of lives, not in status quo or settling down, but moving further into the Spirit. You can speak some new word to us, a word that would move us into a greater sphere of involvement in the work of God and the kingdom of God. Quicken our hearts, awake our spirits today to see an existence of a greater move of the Spirit in our church and in our life. Use us as a church, use us individually, but we do not want to be absent of spiritual power. We long for. Cause us to understand this today. You told us to seek earnestly these gifts. You told us to seek after it, to desire them. And yet you have the prerogative to do what you want, when you want. The first call this morning is those that need a miracle. Those that need a miracle. You're here today, you say, Pastor Ron, I don't have any other way around this. If God doesn't do it today, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be able to be done. Is there one? Is there anybody here? Say, Pastor, if God doesn't intervene in the miraculous and the gifts of healing, whether it's chronic or acute, whether it's been a long, long time you've been having it, or you just got this problem, God wants to do a healing miracle. Maybe it's a financial miracle. We can all attest that God has done miracles in our midst. If there's anybody here, we'd like to pray for you today. Anybody? Secondly, maybe you want to be used in the gifts, the power gifts. If anybody here, just say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be used in the power gifts. Anybody here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I want you to make your way this way by faith. Come on, make your way this way. We know that you're sincerely desiring to be used of the gifts supernaturally. What would happen if God's people started moving? God's signs and wonders started happening. The Bible says in the New Testament, people were astounded. They were amazed. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. And they were drawn into the kingdom of God because of the miraculous signs and wonders that were done. Hey, some of you are going in the mission field. That's the place where you're going to see. That's the climate where you're going to have need of God, and there's no hospitals. In Haiti, we were in Haiti, there was no hospitals. Either they got miracle and got healed, or they died. That's it. That's it. And there's coming a day in America where it's going to get really dark. It's going to get really dark. Nobody can afford insurance anymore. Can't afford the pills. The pills are $100 a pill. There's going to come a day where God's people are going to go running back to the Bible and saying, Lord, where is the miraculous? Where is the God of Elijah? Come on now, we're not looking for the Elijahs of God today. We're looking for the God of Elijah. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elijah? Lord, is there a revival for Springfield and the Ozarks? Lord, is there a miracle in the house today? Is there anybody here that needs a healing? God, we got five in the hospital. We start by praying for them. And then these responded this morning. I believe God wants to impart gifts this morning. If you're seeking earnestly to be used, God's going to put you in special places. Special places. He's going to put you in specific, special places. Now watch this, because it's both speaking, Jesus spoke, and Jesus did. So it's both speaking and working. It's both speaking and doing. So I want you in the altars, in the main floor, I want you to lift your hand. I want you to talk to God. I want you to tell Him, God, I want to...